This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam. We're continuing in Maseches Ksubas Daf HaShavua. Tonight we're learning Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. Nun Beis, Ben, because this is the time of the year that we establish ourselves as Banim Lamakim, 52. Okay, so the Gemara discusses a very interesting case, three lines in the bottom, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbana, Nish Beis Vayimavakshim Menu Adasar B'Dameha. If your wife gets captured, they want 10 times her value. They say, your wife, she could cook, she could clean, she could, she's a therapist, she puts up with you. I mean, she does 10 different things. She charges 10 times the amount she could fetch on the marketplace. They want 10 times her value. So, la'alach is pam rishayna paida. The first time you got to redeem her. Mikan me'ilach, from there and on, they want more than her regular value. Ratsa paida, ratsa ena paida. If you want, you can redeem her. You don't have to. Rav Shem Gamliel says, Ein paidin es hashvuyin yoyser akadei demeim, if they take an oilam. What happened to the Mishnah and Gittin, that we don't redeem captives more than their value? Because otherwise you're just basically encouraging the terrorists to continue to hold people hostage. Why? Mibnei tikkun olam, to rectify, to remedy the world. Ha, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ha, b'chdei d'mayin. But if, let's say, they're asking for her value, poidin, you do redeem her, afagav d'parkuna yoyser aksubasa, even though her redemption is more than her kesuba. So even if they want more than 200 zuz, if she's worth more than 200 zuz, you got to keep on redeeming her. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you don't pay more than her value. But if it is her value, you pay more than the ksuba. So one kula we know Rav Shem Gamliel holds is you don't pay more than her value, but it sounds like you would pay more than the ksuba, or a minu will ask Astira, Nishbeis, if she's captured, v'hoyu mevakshin mimenu, arasar b'ksubasa, and they would ask from her, if she was captured, and they were asking for 10 times the value of the ksuva, pam rishayna paida, the first time you redeem her, mikan ve'ilach, from there and on, ratza paida, ratza ina paida. Rishim Gamliel Omer, no, imhaya prakuna kenege ksubasa paida. You only have to redeem her if it's the value of her ksuba. Imla, but if it's more than the ksuba, ina paida. So here we're seeing you don't have to pay more than the ksuba. The first statement of Shem Gamliel is you don't have to pay more than her value, but you do have to pay more than the ksuba. The second statement of Shem Gamliel is you also don't have to pay more than the ksuba. So it's a stira. The first statement implies you'd pay more than the ksuba. The second statement implies you don't pay more than the ksuba. Says Gemara, Shem Gamliel, trei kuli yisle. Shem Gamliel maintains two leniencies. Leniency number one, you don't pay more than her value. Leniency number two, you don't pay more than the kisuba. Okay. The Mishnah said that laksa chayiv l'rapoisa. If she was stricken, by the way, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says if she became ill. Remember that? No, the Mishnah does say laksa. The Mishnah says laksa. She was struck. So the Mishnah does not say chalsa. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, almana nizaynis minichse yisaimim. The almana is sustained from the property of the yisaimim. Utsricha refua. And if she needs medicine, harehi kemzaynis. That's like mezainos, and it has to be supplied. And therefore, since it's like mezainos, it comes from the nechse yisoymim. The amana is nizanas mi nechse yisoymim, and if she needs refuah, that is like mezainos. Rav Shem Gamliel says, refuah sheyesh la kitzba, if it's refuah that has a set amount, nisrapis miksubasa, she's healed from the ksuba. Right, if it's a lump sum, the doctor says, look, you know, all it's going to take is treatment. It's going to cost $1,000. And I never have to see you again. Obviously, this doctor doesn't have the business aspect down. Everybody knows a good doctor, you never shake him, right? You always have to come back for visiting day. So, but let's say the doctor says, there's a set amount, a set medical expense comes out of the ksuba. She'ein lo kitzba, but if it's a condition that's perennial, it's a chronic condition, harehi kamzoinus, comes out of the estate of the yisoimim. So that's an interesting principle. A set lump sum comes from the ksuba. Now the ksuba is capped out at 200 zuz. But if it's chronic, then it comes from the estate of the yisoimim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, "Asu hakazas dam be'eretz Yisrael kirafua she'ein la kitzva." Rabbi Yochanan said they made bloodletting in Eretz Yisrael like rafua she'ein la kitzva. They made hakazas dam be'eretz Yisrael. They made bloodletting like an unlimited expense, because it was something they constantly did. They constantly bloodlet in Eretz Yisrael. So that was considered like mezoinos, and it was collected from the estate of the Yisoimim. Okay, kreve de Rabbi Yochanan, the relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, havelahu itas abba, had a wife of their father, an almana. Rabbi Yochanan's relative there was an almana in the family. She needed medical assistance. So every day, they came before Rabbi Yochanan. Excuse me, I didn't read it correctly. The woman needed medical attention daily. So we said a chronic condition comes from the Yisoimim's estate. So this is really depleting the estate. So Rabbi Yochanan has an einfal. Rabbi Yochanan says, get a doctor to agree to treat this woman as a one lump sum. Then you're capped out by the ksuba. So, asu l'kamed Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lahu, he said, I have a great idea. Izulu kutsule midi l'roife. Go set a set price by a doctor. Find a doctor that's willing to say, I will treat this woman, you give me $1,000, and I'll treat her whenever she needs. But then Rabbi Yochanan felt bad that he gave that advice, because basically what he did is he made himself like an attorney. In Pirkei Avos it says, don't like arrange an argument for one of the litigants. Don't arrange an argument for them to try to win their court case. I made myself like an attorney. You're not supposed to do that, like just offer assistance to one side and like instruct them how to claim. So Gemara says, okay, he felt bad about it. Why did he do it in the first place? Me'ikar ma'isar v'soy ma'isar. In the beginning, what did he think? In the end, what did he think? Me'ikara savar u'mevesarcha lo'y tisalem. Originally, he thought it's true, you're not supposed to make yourself like an attorney. But not for a relative. What's a relative there for? A relative is there to help his relative. You can't ignore your relative. So what did he hold in the end? In the end, he held adam chashiv shani. An important person is different, that somebody might learn from his behavior and apply it even in a case where it's not applicable. By the way, there's a beautiful Rabbi Kiva Eger on the words basar chaloy tesalim. I believe we're going to read it on Yom HaKippurim. It's the haftarah of Yom HaKippurim. Yeah, haloy faroy sorov lachmecha v'aniim rudim tavi bayis. Rabbi Kiva Eger is going on the pasuk leisucha lesalim. If you see a lost object, we darshan pa'amim sha'ata masalim. Sometimes you'll have to look away from it. For example, zakein ve'eno lefi chvaydai, if somebody is an older person and it's not in accordance with his honor to pick up the aveda, he's allowed to make believe he didn't see it. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, that means when it says loy tesalim, it means there are no exceptions to the rule. It's because it's by aveda, it's pa'amim sha'ata masalim. Sometimes you could ignore them, but by a relative, lo yisucha l'asai. You're not umibesar chada. There are no exceptions. When there's a relative that needs help, there are no excuses. Basically, that's what we read on Yom HaKippurim. Says the Halakha Mishnah, new stuff. Now we're going to talk about Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Ksubas Benin Dichrin is like this. Technically speaking, if a woman dies, the husband inherits the Ksuba. If he had two wives, he inherits both Ksubas. If he had children from both wives, and they die, and he inherits both Ksubas, and then he dies, so then all the respective children will inherit from him equally, irrespective of what their respective mother's Ksuba was, but now he inherited, and then they all inherit him differently. But we're going to see there's a takana, that when he inherits the wife's Ksubas, and then he dies, the children of those wives, the sons inherit their mother's Ksubas, and the other sons inherit their mother's Ksubas. And the reason for that, the Gemara is going to say, is it's to encourage fathers to write big dowries for their daughter. If a father would know that maybe other children would inherit their daughter's dowry, they would be hesitant to write a big dowry. But we want a father to make his daughter very desirous of being married. So therefore, says the Mishnah, Loi kasavla benin dichren. If he did not make the stipulation of benin dichren, dehavu lecha minoi, that you have from me, inun yarsin, kasuk suba sech, that they will inherit the money of your ksuba, yeser al chulkayan de machloin, more than their share with the other brothers, chayev. He still has to fulfill that tanai. Shehu tanai bezdin. This is a stipulation of the bezdin, irrespective of whether it was written in the ksuba. Benin nukvin dihavain lichi minoi. Female children that you have from me, Yahavion Yasvan Bevesi, will sit in my house, Umitsinan Minichsi, and will be sustained from my property ad detilkachain lenuchrin, until they're taken by husbands. The din is that girls don't inherit their father, but what are they supposed to do if the father dies? So there's a in the ksuba was typically written, whatever female child that we have together will be able to sit in my estate and eat off my estate until they're taken as a wife. So the halach is chayiv. You're obligated to have them eat off your estate. Why? Shuhu tanai bezdin. At tehe yasva bevesi umitsina minichsi kol yume megar al menuseich bevesi chayev. There's another stipulation. If a guy dies, the woman is allowed to stay in his house, be sustained from his property, as long as she remains in almana. Even if that wasn't written, chayev, your chayev shu tnai bezin. So basically, until she goes ahead and marries someone else, she is going to be sustained from his property. Until she goes ahead and marries someone else, she's going to be sustained from his property. Even if that wasn't written, it's a tanai bezin. This is what the men of Jerusalem would write in their ksuba. Anshe Galil, the men of the Galilee, Hayu Koisin Ka Anshe Yushalayim, would write the same as the Anshe Yushalayim. But Anshe Yehuda would say, Hayu Koisin, Anshe Yirtzu Hayorshin Litein Lach Ksubasech. Maybe there's an Eitzah to get her out. Meaning, so long as she doesn't collect her Ksuba, as long as she doesn't get married, and she doesn't say, hey, pay me the 200 Zuz of the Ksuba, she's allowed to stay in his house and eat off his real estate and live there. Are the sons allowed to buy her out and say, hey, lady, here are your 200 zuz, get off. You know, you're living here, it costs $2,000 a month, and we have to pay for upkeep and cleaning, and it's here's your 200 zuz, get lost. So the Anshe Yerushalayim and Anshe Galil, they automatically wrote that she gets to stay there as long as she doesn't remarry. And she doesn't claim her ksuba, and they cannot pay off her ksuba to get her off. However, the Anshe Yehuda would write, until the Yarshim want to give her the ksuba, lefikach, since that what was That's what was written. Imratsu Yarshin. If the Yarshin won, Noisin La Ksuba, so they could give her the Ksuba. Upaitra Noisa, and they can exempt her. And they can exempt her. And they could basically throw her off the land and say, get lost! We paid you the Ksuba, you can't stay here anymore. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yechai. Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rashbi. Why did the Chachamim enact that when a mother dies and the father inherits the ksuba, and then the father dies, that the children from the respective mothers, let's say the guy was married to two women, they inherit their mother's ksuba? You know why? Because if other children would be able to inherit the ksuba, a father would not want to write his daughter a big dowry. And we want Kadesh Shayikbait Adam, so a person should jump, Viyichtav Levitai Kivnai, and write a big suba for his daughter, like he would to his son. Because we want to do everything that we can to make a father make his daughter a commodity. Says Gemara, wait a second. Midai Raisa. You don't have to write a dowry for your daughter. Is there anything that the Torah says the son inherits, the daughter doesn't inherit? And the rabbis come along and misakne de teres barta? That the daughter should inherit? Meaning, is there anything that the Chachamim said that we have the daughter inherit? Meaning that the father should give her his money? That really it was something that his son should inherit? Really, this father's sons should have inherited this money. And we're encouraging to write it to his daughter so that his daughter's family should inherit the money. Do we find such a thing? Says Gemara, you bet. Hanami Dairaisa, that is Dairaisa Hu. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah. It's interesting that the Gemara calls the Pasuk in Yirmiyah Dairaisa. Kechu Nashim, take women, Vahoylidu Banim, and give birth to boys, Ubanes and girls, Ukechu Levnechem Nashim, take wives for your sons. Ve'ez b'noy sechem, and your daughters, tenula anashim, give to men. So the Torah is saying, take wives for your sons. That's easy, because the boy is the one who usually goes out and takes the girl. But what would it mean, and your daughters give to men? Bishlama banim b'yadei kaimi. Bishlama sons. It stands in your hand. You could be the active party in marrying off your sons. The sons are usually the one who go out and get married. Ela binsei mi kaimen biyadi. Is the daughter in your hands that you could just marry her off? You can't marry off your daughter. She has to be taken. Says Gemara, HaKamashon, what the Pasuk is saying, is the nalbisha, dress her up, v'nichse, give her real estate, v'nichse, and cover her. V'nesiv lamidi, give her some land. Kihechi dekafseyala, that people should want her. Va'asunazva, and want to marry her. So we have an indication in the Navi that it's the father's responsibility to bedeck and pachka up his daughter so that harbu koivtsinala. How much should you give to your daughter as a dowry? V'yad kama. Abayi v'rava da'amri tarvayo ad le'isr nixi. Up to a tenth of your money you should spend. Now, I don't think that's referring to tzedakah. It's a different expense. At the end of the day, nothing, not too much is left for you. But it's going to a good cause. Ve'ema. Okay, so now the Gemara asks. So think about... Ksubas benin dechren. Ksubas benin dichron is a guy marries two girls, they die, he inherits their ksubas, and then he dies, the children of the respective wives inherit the ksuba. Why would they inherit the ksuba? I understand they should inherit the dowry part of the ksuba, because that's the whole reason we're masakin, that they inherit so that the father writes the daughter a big dowry, but the regular 200 zuz that the husband gives to her, why would the respective children of each wife inherit that? Ve'ema da'avlir, sabaloilir, why should they inherit the husband? The answer is, if the father knows that they're only going to inherit him and they're not going to inherit the son-in-law, the father's like, I'm not giving you anything. If that cheapskate son-in-law is not going to participate in this, I'm not paying anything out of my pocket. You know how father-in-laws, you know, might think. You know, the father-in-law says, if all it is that they're going to take from me and not from him, no, I'm out of it. I'm only in this if I have a partner in this. The father won't write the dowry. Says the Gemara, but sometimes the father doesn't write a dowry. In that case, why in the world would they inherit the ksuba from the husband? The only reason you inherit the ksuba from the husband is to inspire the... The only reason you inherit the ksuba from the husband is to inspire the father to write the dowry. But if there's no dowry, why would they inherit the ksuba? Says Gemara, loy plug rabbanon. The rabbis never differentiated. Meaning the rabbis made a uniform takana that they all, that the benin dichron always inherit the ksuba. Says Gemara, bas ben habanim nami terois. A daughter among sons should also inherit. What does that mean? If the whole reason is that we want the father to write a dowry, well, what if that man had sons from the other woman and daughters from this woman? And now both women die, and then he dies, and the ksuba is being inherited. The daughter doesn't inherit anything. So the daughter doesn't inherit, but won't that interfere with the whole inspiring of trying to get the father to write a dowry? Then it should apply that even a daughter should inherit. Says Gemara, Kenachala Shavi Rabbanan. The lumdus here is they made benin dichron like inheritance, and a daughter does not inherit when there are other boys. But says Gemara, Bas Ben Abanus Teros. But at least in a case where they're girls from both sides, we should apply that the daughter from this woman should inherit the ksuba. No, loy plug rabbanon. The rabbanon made a loy plug. They didn't give girls ksubas benin dichrin. Since they didn't do it when they're boys, they didn't do it ever. Said Frekti Gemara, v'tigmi mimetaltali. Why don't they collect from metaltalin? Since the whole reason is they want the father to write in the dunya. What if the father wrote in the dunya of metaltalin? So shouldn't they inherit metaltalin? But why is the din that ksubas benin dichron you only inherit from karka? Says Gemara, kiksuva shavi rabbanan. The din that they inherit is like the collecting of a ksuba. And a ksuba you only collect from karka. Says the Gemara, titref mimashabdi. If it's like a ksuba, ksuba collects from mishubadim, so why doesn't the ksuba's benin dichron collect from mishubadim? Says the Gemara, b'yarsam tanan, it's a din in Yerusha. Yerusha only collects from b'nei chayran. Now, we learned this before, the din of ksuba's benin dichron is technically the Torah is being mavatal Yerusha here. Technically, all the sons of this man should inherit everything equally. So the halacha is that the din of ksubas benin dichron is only if after they split after each son takes his mother's respective ksuba, there's a dinar of the estate left over that they could split. But if there's not a dinar of the estate left over that they could split to be mekayim yerusha medaraisa, the whole thing is off. So it says Gemara, ve'ema afagav deleka moisar dinar. Say this din of ksubas benin dechrin applies even if you don't have a dinar left over. Says Gemara, in a situation that they're uprooting biblical nachla, the Rabbanon did not make a takana. The Rabbanon only were masakin if you could still be mekayim the din of Yerusha Dairaisa. If you can't be mekayim the din of Yerusha Dairaisa, the Rabbanon never made the takana. It's similar to we know that if Bris Mila comes out on Shabbos, you do a Bris Mila. We know we're not going to blow shofar this year on Shabbos. Why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos? Shema Yavirenu. So why do we do Bris Mila on Shabbos? What about Shema Yavirenu? So there's a famous Taz. It's called the Taz Hayadua. There's even a sefer from Rav David Cohen of Coney Island Avenue. It's called HaTaz Hayadua, who says that there's a special pasuk that says you don't do Mila on Shabbos. The Chachamim cannot come and be oiker in explicit pasuk. But there's no explicit pasuk that you do shofar on Shabbos. It just says you blow shofar. It happens to be even on Shabbos. So you're mekayim it by blowing shofar during the week, but not on Shabbos. But you can't be oiker something legamri. It's similar to what this Gemara is saying, that the only time the Chachamim could institute ksuvas benin dichrin is at least you're mekayim the doiraisa dika Yerusha to some extent. If you're oiker it legamri, there's no din of ksuvas benin dichrin. Rabbi Isai, thank you very much. Next week, Bezos Hashem, hopefully we could do Monday and Tuesday. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful night. Bracha v'atzlacha, kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.